And here comes Milwaukee. Forbes another three. Oh, no!
This is the Random Scrum Heat Podcast.
Welcome to the Random Scrub Heat Podcast. We are back for the recrap. Another regular season is mercilessly over. It's thankfully done. As Heat fans, we've come to expect grueling, annoying, piss-poor basketball for 82 games. But when that 83rd game starts, minus last season against the Hawks, things get a little exciting. I'm here with Harry. George will be joining us. I don't know when. What in Australian time, 1 minute is like a New York minute, so you don't, or the opposite of a New York minute, I should say. Harry, we made it. Do you think that, you know what? No, I was going to ask you about Philly. We'll get into the Philly matchup a little bit down the road here. We need to kind of discuss how this regular season ended, because the Heat did kind of control their own destiny up until that Indiana game. They wasted another great opportunity, as they've seemed to do this whole season. What does it come down to for you? Like, after that Indiana game, they got into a little bit of a groove, I guess you could say. But I guess technically those two games against Toronto, that's a team that's trying to lose. So it served as a good opportunity to get some of these players that are going to get minutes in the playoffs, or at least in the play-in, if it's one game or if it's two, to get more of a groove. And Hame looked really good in those minutes. He looked like, at least like he did prior injury, not like peak Hame, but he definitely looked way better than anything we've seen in the back half of the season. DeLon Wright got some minutes that I think is going to come in just very, very handy against Philadelphia, because you think, well, Terry's not going to play. He's already been ruled out. You look at who's going to stand in front of Tyrese Maxey. DeLon Wright got some really good minutes to get his juices flowing a little bit. I don't see why you wouldn't play him if you're Spo. You went out and got him for this exact reason. I feel like now is the opportunity to kind of unleash that trump card. But how do you feel this regular season ended? Is it what you expected in your heart of hearts, or were you trying to fool yourself from that fake second half comeback that they had against the Pacers?
Yeah, when they when it looked like they had a really good shot at the sixth seed, and they basically needed like one win against Philly or one win against the Pacers, and they couldn't get either, it was just like, okay, this team is, they're going to be the ace seed. And I was just kind of hoping that maybe, you know, the Bucks would wake up and they'd be hosting the Magic or something, because not that you can really ever depend on this team, but I feel like that would have been a matchup where the Heat would have been favored and they would have had a chance. Going to Philly, you know, I don't know how healthy Embiid is, but, you know, he's a tough guy to stop in a one-game sample size. You were kind of mentioning that they've really had no answers for Maxey. He's kind of torn them up, so I guess, yeah, you're kind of hoping that DeLon Wright gets some minutes to slow him down. I'd seen a stat. I don't remember how many minutes it was, the threshold, but they're like 9-1 when DeLon Wright plays significant minutes. I don't know if that's because he's coming in blowouts at the end of games, or he's just really has been a difference maker and they just weren't using him enough, because for whatever reason, you know, Spo kind of became obsessed with Patty Mills when we signed him. You know, I think the Heat will come to the realization, probably in the hardest way possible, that you just can't. It's very, very difficult to crawl your way out of the bottom in the postseason. You know, I've been kind of giving the stats, whether we've been on the pod or in spaces or on Twitter, but, you know, there are nine teams in NBA history that have won lower than a two seed. Nine teams out of 75 NBA champions. So it's seven times the three seed has won, one time the four seed has won, and one time the six seed has won. That's it.
And one of those times was when the best player in the world decided to play for the Chicago White Sox.
Yes. So,
if that's not the anomaly that needs to end that conversation.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, the Rockets winning was when Jordan, you know, decided he had to go play baseball, you know, when his dad passed away. So It's just like, it's just a stupid thing. I feel bad for Heat fans that you can't be critical of the team because, you know, hey, you have to, like, we all enjoyed last postseason. We're not sitting there, you know, we're not sitting there hating on the team for the run that they had last year. But we're also saying that the odds of that happening again are slim, and the odds of it, like, happening and it ending in a better result, I think, are near impossible. So, you know, we're sitting here. It was a kind of a miserable regular season again. They lost a lot of games they should have won. There's another universe where the Heat are like a 2 or 3 seed.
And they went 0-12 against the top 6 teams in the West.
Yeah, I mean,
one of the teams that you'll inevitably have to beat 4 times if you want to win an NBA championship.
Yeah, there's not, and that's also what that ends up what's happening is that I think the Heat can usually get through the East because there's always like some type of mental fragility going on from these East teams. Like, you have Boston where everyone's saying like they have to win this year. There's no excuses. They're not going to win. You know, the Bucks with Doc Rivers, they're embarrassing the way they collapse at the end of the year. I don't care even that Giannis got hurt at the end. That the way they lost to the Magic, and they were, I don't know if you guys watched that game. I had League Pass going on. They were trying to win. They got absolutely destroyed. You know, the Knicks, I think the Knicks are like a solid, tough team. They're going to be a tough out, but I'm not really worried about them. Outside of Brunson, they do not have a lot going on offensively. Like, he's a one-man show, and I actually thought the Heat did a pretty good job slowing him down in the last game that they won versus the Knicks, where they had a lot of trouble against him in the postseason last year. I think if we were able to get the Knicks, I think we could throw some things at them that could slow Brunson down a little bit. And just go down the list. I just don't think anybody in the East is that strong, and that's why people would just pick the Celtics because they've ran away with the East this year. But none of these teams give you any confidence. So if the Heat can kind of win tomorrow and put themselves in that 2-7 matchup, it's an ideal road to make another run. It's just going to end in the same spot if that's the case, where it's just not going to be good enough. And when you've ran back this iteration of the squad for 5 years now, there's just not a lot to say anymore. Like, you assume Jimmy can probably, you know, give you a bit more than he was showing in the regular season, even if there's some decline in his game. Bam's going to play great defense, and you hope that he's kind of clutched on the stretch and can win you some games. You have no idea where you're getting from Hero or if he can stay healthy. And the bench guys, you're just kind of hoping that the combination of those guys gives you enough to pull off some of these wins. Like, he hasn't looked particularly good this year, but you'll need a couple games from Caleb Martin to make a run. You'll need some Duncan Robinson games. You know, you'll need some games from Jaime Jaquez, which we just don't know what we're getting from him. He's really hit this wall for a while before. I think you've just seen like some life you were talking about in these last two games against Toronto. He's looked a little bit better. So my thing is, winning playoff basketball games is really, really difficult. Even in series that go like 6 games, you're playing 20 more games on top of the 82 or 83 or 84 that you had to play to get there. And this team has shown they cannot stay healthy. They will never be healthy. So even if they got to the finals, they're not going to be healthy enough to win it. That's how I feel about the team from 2 years ago, LJ. Like, if everyone says, oh, you know, if Jimmy makes that shot against the Celtics, they're not beating the Warriors. Everyone on the team was beat up. Jimmy got hurt by Peyton Pritchard in like game 3. Didn't he miss the game, or
he got hurt in like the first half and missed the second half. And that was in Boston. They actually went on to win that game.
Right, but then he was terrible in games 4 and 5 before he started.
Turned it up in 6 and 7, yep. Yeah.
Hero got hurt in that series.
And that actually really hurt them too, because people don't want to give Tyler Hero his roses, but they needed a player to make shots in that old Boston series, and Hero was doing that. He didn't have great numbers. He didn't have good efficiency. When the offense bogged down, he was hitting shot after shot to, like, get them out of a funk. And then when he left that series, that's when all the supporting cast just couldn't do anything except for Bam in game seven. Bam and Jimmy did literally everything.
And they kept throwing out PJ Tucker in that series, who had suffered like his third injury in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he had nothing left, and the Celtics weren't even guarding him out on the perimeter. So they were essentially just clogging the paint, saying like, hit shots or don't, and they didn't hit enough to win. And it's kind of like that. I mean, that's, you know, last year they went from a very poor 3-point shooting team to the best in the NBA in the postseason.
The best like of all time in the postseason.
Yeah. And it's just like, these things aren't that likely. You know, I don't expect a Jimmy series like he had against the Bucks in the first round. And even if he didn't get, you know, even if Hart didn't injure him in the Knicks series, like, how many games are you expecting 35-year-old Jimmy Butler? Maybe he's 34. Like, how many games are you expecting him to come out and do this? And I think we just get to the point where it's like 5 years with a lot of success and nothing to show for it. I don't care what anyone says. Like, they didn't win. No, we're not going to.
It's been a fun ride for sure, but it's like, yeah, if you don't get the hardware, it's not really worth, like, oh, it's the friends we made along the way. It's like, well, that's all well and good, but I kind of want a ring on top of that. Yeah. I'm tired of being the bridesmaid. I want to be a bride. Yeah. And they haven't been able to give that to us. But to your point, you did say the Knicks are a great matchup, which is why it's very, very important that they beat Philadelphia. Because like you said, Harry, it's Brunson and company. And Brunson gave them the work last year. Like you said, though, in that last game, they kind of figured out a way to kind of make his life difficult. He still got looks that he wanted, but they were difficult looks. And if you have to be okay with Dante DiVincenzo scoring 30 a night to beat you, then you put your hands up, you go, all right, shit, we got beat by Dante DiVincenzo averaging 27 plus. You live with that. That's okay to lose that way. You don't want to lose to their best player. But when you look at what you're actually seeing now with the matchup against Philadelphia, it's another game with a hobbled Embiid. To your point again, they've had chance after chance after chance. An injured Memphis team, you know, the loss to Washington, the 8-point lead against Philly, the game in Philly without Embiid where Lowry scored the most points that he'd scored in a Philadelphia uniform, the most points that he'd scored in, I think, 4 to 5 months. And then you have the Indiana game where they show no life in the first half and then turn it up in the second half. Cool. They've had their moments, but all five of those examples, zilch, all five losses when three out of the four or four out of the five should have been wins. And you can't have that when you have one more opportunity here, possibly a hobbled Embiid against in Philadelphia. The Heat have been a much better road team than they've been a home team. That just kind of feeds into the whole, this season makes no sense. The Heat are unpredictable. Of course, they're going to be a better road team. Of course, it doesn't make sense, which is why that makes sense. So do you really want it to come down to your home floor against an Atlanta Hawks team that beat you in the play-in on your home floor last year? Or do you want Chicago without Max Strus walking through the door? Because he's playing whoever, the Orlando Magic. That's who Max Strus is playing. He's not going to be playing the Chicago Bulls. You don't want it to come down to that, because then Boston's waiting on the other side of that door. So depending on who you ask, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? Because you win against Philly, you get the good matchup against New York. You lose against Philly, you get Atlanta or Chicago. If you lose that game, you know, you're euthanized. The season's done. Thank God it's over, depending on who you ask. I want them to get to the playoffs. I want them to win a championship. But the sooner it's over, if they're not going to win a championship, the better. Because I know there are people that say, like, they're not of the mindset that, you know, getting lulled into that false sense of security exists, or that's not a thing. I oppose that. I think that is a thing. I think the front office of any sports team, not just the Heat, not just basketball, can get, you know, mind-numbingly, obscuredly, you know, not paying attention to what they need to be paying attention to. You constantly winning, 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 but not winning at all. You think, all right, minor tweaks, minor tweaks. You don't make the playoffs. That right there is the wake-up call. You lose in the first round against Boston. That's the wake-up call. So it's like, I still want them to beat Philly because I think they have a great chance against New York. And then whoever comes out of the Milwaukee-Indiana series, I even though they tied the season series against Indiana, I still like that matchup in the playoffs. Halliburton disappeared in the second half of the season. unless he plays Miami, I guess, in the regular season. We don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs if they face them. Or you get the Bucks, and you guys know how I feel about Doc fucking Rivers. Give me that matchup.
The Pacers are going to beat the Bucks.
I genuinely think the Pacers will beat the Bucks. That's correct.
In six.
I think so. Oh, yeah, we forgot to say George is here. That's a huge fucking jump scare to our audience that didn't know that he joined. If you're watching on YouTube, you saw. If you're just listening on the podcast, I apologize because you just probably shit your pants. George is here. George, how do you feel about their odds against Philadelphia? Kind of break down this matchup a little bit. What do you like? What don't you like? Do you think they have a legitimate shot? Or do you think it's going to inevitably come down to Atlanta or Chicago?
I think they've got a legitimate shot. I think there's a better shot than most people are giving the Heat credit for. Look, I think something that has come across from this season and something that can't be denied is, and something you mentioned before, was that the Heat are very, unpredictable. And there's nothing you can really put your finger on and say, this is what you're going to get from this player from this game, this and that, this and that. The only thing that you can bank on is that Embiid tends to play worse against the Heat than any other team. I think we drop his career average in points by 10 every time we verse him. So that's something. I'm nitpicking at the moment. But look, I 100% give us a chance. I think they've got a very good team. When they want, you know, when they're moving the ball well, when everything's going their way, I think Miami's going to be disruptive. I don't think they're going to give him those type of opportunities. I think Maxey's going to have a good game. I think that's a given because the Heat have never been known for their perimeter defense. And I think they've done very little to rectify that over the last, 12 months. They've really not, after losing Gabe Vincent, you really haven't given yourself much of a shot. Bringing Wright in was pretty good, but Patty Mills, Terry Rozier's out, Hero, they're not giving you much on that end. I still think there's a chance that Embiid doesn't play tomorrow. I'm not going to bank on
that.
Didn't he
play that last game of the season for him?
He's still listed as doubtful. He's still listed as doubtful for tomorrow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss that? Right,
well, I thought he was questionable, but he's been practicing.
I'm just reading the list now. It says doubtful.
Okay. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying I would be shocked if he personally held himself out of that game. Unless they want Boston, which is honestly could be a thing because Nick Nurse is a much better coach than Doc Rivers, and they had a 3-2 lead, and they did what Doc Rivers 3-2 lead teams do. But as you were, George, go ahead.
Yeah. I look at this game, and with any game of basketball, with any sort of, any sport, this could either go very good or very bad for the Heat in a very specific way because losing would just be horrible, full stop, and you're not going to – you don't want to verse Boston in the first round. You really don't want to be that team to make it, stamp it out. You're looking at a repeat of 2 years ago when we got swept. That's a real possibility. I think against the Knicks, you give yourself a fair shot. I feel like they play inflated basketball in the regular season. I feel like in the playoffs, they try and cut down their rotation. You're not playing that many guys. They're not going to be able to lean on that many reliable sources. I think you give yourself your best shot against New York. But to beat the 76ers tomorrow, you have to – two of three things have to happen. And the three options are Jimmy goes ballistic, which is in some cases the most likely scenario. Bam has to absolutely shine and has to take the fight to the paint and really perform at a top – as he was doing in the first – 15 games of the season, 20 games of the season, just before the All-Star break. You have to get that type of Bam. And third and foremost, Tyler has to do what Tyler's been doing since coming back from injury, which is finding open teammates, getting to the line, playing physical, initiating contact. You need that type of Tyler Hero against this team. You have to put their guards in foul trouble. You have to put people in foul trouble in general. If Embiid plays, if what you guys are saying is right and he's been practicing, which I think he's definitely been practicing, but if he does play, you have to try and, not that you try and foul him out, but you have to put the pressure on him in the paint. You have to try and draw him out a little bit, as much as you can, to give yourself the best chance of winning. I don't listen to the odds. People saying it's more likely the 76ers beat the Heat. I think it's a clear 50-50. It's a flip of a coin, in my opinion. We are the better team, full stop, case in point. That is, there's no doubt in my mind that we're a better team than Philadelphia. But we are very consistent. And we have not proven that we can beat top teams, especially when it matters. The last chance you had in Heat uniform to do that was against the Mavericks a few games ago, and it did not go well. We'll just say that much. It played like crap. Even against the Pacers, where we scored 37 in the fourth quarter to come back and lose by two. Those games are games you needed to do, to have, to put yourself in that situation to win big games. If you don't build that habit during the regular season, you really give yourself a limited, you know, limited time. Like, my mind always goes to the bubble when the Magic were versus the Bucks and Magic stole game one. And everyone thought, oh my God, look at this. It's going to, you know, could this be an upset? But Magic had won one game out of, I think, out of the top eight teams in the league. The Magic had won one game. And they won the first game. But you don't do that consistently. You don't give yourself a fair shot against a team like Milwaukee that was riding high in the first seed. But look, from the Heat perspective, Terry out, Duncan doubtful, Josh Richardson out. Your guard rotation sucks. Full stop. It really sucks. You have got Patty Mills, you've got Tyler Hero, and everyone else, in my opinion. And everyone else. You need big games from Jimmy. If Jimmy can at least give you 35, and that's like a big ask from a guy who's 34, but give you 35, you're giving yourself a good shot to at least allow Bam to operate, limit Embiid, and just chuck whatever you can at Maxi. If it's the third quarter and Maxi's got 35, don't be afraid to try something. Do you know what I mean? Don't be afraid to try something. We're talking to Ant about this yesterday. We don't seem to really use the perimeter defender we brought in a few months ago for that specific reason. Put right on him. Look, just go see how it looks. Go see how it works. You got to try something. I feel like the Heat haven't used the regular season in the way that they could have to really limit test to see what players could do, what those other guys can do. You know what you're going to get from Jimmy in the playoffs, or mostly. Bam took a step up last year. I feel like the stigma around him in the playoffs is gone. Tyler Hero, he didn't give himself a chance to really perform in the regular season. He was out for that many games. So it's really a battle of who controls the paint, who can limit your top scorer, which is basically the most convoluted argument in basketball. Of course, you stop the best player, you're going to win the game most of the time. But Maxi's been on a tear. Maxi has been absolutely out of this world. So if you want to give yourself a chance, you have to stop him. You have to limit him to 20, 22 points a game, maximum by the end of the game. That's how you win the game.
I think you're probably right. And I have a quick question for the people watching on YouTube. Is your name on here, If I Were a Rich Man, is that a Monsters, Inc. reference? To the song at the end of Monsters, Inc.? That sing Sully it. And Mike Wazowski sing?
Sing it.
All right, moving on.
No, sing it. Sing it now.
If I were a rich man with a million or two. And then Mike comes in and goes, I'd live in a penthouse. And a room with a view. Do you not know? Harry knows what I'm talking about. Fuck,
I've never watched Monsters, Inc. in my life. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you should.
You haven't seen one of the best Pixar movies
I'm
of just, all time?
I'm lying to you. Of course I've watched it a million times. Thank I know exactly. Harry will get it in the first try. Harry, what's my name? What does it mean?
If I were a rich man. No. That song.
You're talking about the fucking, what do you call it? The chimney sweeper?
Yeah. Absolutely. I was watching the Dr. Octopus version. I forgot the actor's name when he was he did it in Spider-Man 2. So I'd sing that song. It's my favorite
one of the bloopers, yes.
Yes, it's so good.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know how many people listening know what you're talking about, but
I know, I'm old.
I'm ready for a hot take. I'll take on the hot take mantra right now. I think Tyler Hero scores over 20 in a pretty efficient game against Philadelphia tomorrow. That's what I think. Since he's come back from injury, he's been averaging, I think, 5.5 free throw attempts a game. That's like the whole crux of what was missing from his game. That's how you have efficient games in the NBA. You drive to the rim, you get fouled, because guess what? For those who don't know about basketball, when you drive and you get fouled, the field goal attempt doesn't count. So you get 2 points without adding a field goal attempt. We're teaching the youth. That's how you get efficient games. That's how you wind up scoring 25 on like 11 to 12 field goal attempts, by getting 3 free throws. Like, it's really that simple. He's been doing that since he's come back from injury. I know a small sample size, but he never does that. So the fact that he's doing that for, what was it like now? I think it's like a 5 or 6 game sample size. Cool. Can we make it a 7? Can we make it an 8, 9, 10 sample size? Like, that'd be cool. I think he continues to get to the free throw line. He came back just after the Philadelphia loss against Houston. Had they had him for that Philly matchup when they went completely dead in that fourth quarter, no one was taking good shots. I'm not saying Tyler Herro would have taken a good shot. I'm saying Tyler Herro would have taken a shot. And he's a shot maker. So I would rather him taking a late second shot clock chuck than 80% of this roster. Because Tyler Herro can shoot the basketball. A lot of people on this roster can't. Duncan and Terry can. Both of them are probably out. So someone has to take these shots. But my hot take, I know Harry was about to jump back in. And for Harry's namesake, Harry can give us a hot take if he wants. I think Tyler scores over 20 on efficient shooting tomorrow.
That's a very hot take. I have no faith in Tyler.
Thank you. I know it is.
Yeah. I just wouldn't expect it. I mean, I hope, but I don't think he's going to. I think it's all about, I think it's really making the Sixers struggle to score. If they're efficiently like putting up and they're well into the hundreds as this game gets to a close, I don't think this is going to be particularly close. I think the Heat have to win ugly. And they have to really make them struggle. And I think that
welcome to 95% of their wins this season.
And I think like Kyle Lowry's just going to kick our ass. I just feel like that's happening. So also, I don't know what you guys are. I don't know if you're reading something different than me. Obviously, we all know that Terry's officially out tomorrow. And Embiid is questionable, but he's been practicing the whole time. Plus, right now, they're favored by 5. The Sixers wouldn't be favored by 5 if he wasn't going to play.
And, oh, the line moved. It was 4 when I saw it earlier.
Yeah, there. I mean, most people would pick the Sixers, I think.
What is the line, by the way? What does that mean? For people who are watching that aren't from America, what is the line?
What they're favored by. The line right now is Philadelphia favored by, what, 5 or 5.5, Harry?
It's 5, and then I think Duncan is going to play. Right now, I believe
he's questionable, yes.
And I think it's a game-time decision. I mean, I think he'll give it a go, right? That's kind of like...
That's right. I should have specified, yes. I know the back injury that he has. I'm familiar with it. I've seen other people have it, and there's no shot that he is 60% of himself. So I wouldn't play him because he's not a strong defender. He's not going to be able to move laterally quick, and he already can. So it's like you're splicing that in half. Ever since the back injury, he's been very reluctant to take anybody off the dribble to attack the rim in any capacity. That's what made, like, that's what changed his game, right? Like the whole fact that he was a one-dimensional player and we thought that, you know, his worth wasn't very high, that changed this year. That argument's completely different now because he became a 3-level scorer for a good chunk of the season. And now he can't do that because he's a little bit immobilized with his back. So I wouldn't play him unless you know that he can give you anything other than just shot chucking threes.
I disagree. You have to play him. Not healthy, healthy. You have to play him.
No, George.
Yes, if he's healthy, but he's not healthy.
If he can't guard, not even like, I'm not saying he has to be super effective, but if they're blowing by him on defense, he can't be out there, and they have to make that decision quick. So they can play him. You know, hopefully he would get out there and take a couple shots, and you know, obviously for his confidence, it would be good if a couple of them went in. But if he's getting, because that's what was happening. Not only was he missing shots, he was getting destroyed on defense. And if they're going to try to do something foolish with, like, you cannot play him and Tyler together, they'll get picked apart defensively. And so that has to be something they can try, but quickly adjust to. And this Heat team, they've come back in big games. They've made the big runs. They have not won those games. I don't think a Heat team can go down by, you know, 10, 12 plus on the road and come back and win. They can come back, but the energy needed to do that, I don't think is a winning formula. And they have to think about all this stuff because, you know, they're the team that's been up big and blown the leads. They're the team that gets down real. Like, if Philly comes out and punches them in the mouth tomorrow, this game's over, I promise. Like, if they're very quickly down 12-3 or something, it's over. Like, they're not. it's not the team that has shown a lot of fight. I don't care that it's, you know, technically not the regular season anymore. They'll roll over and be like, we'll get them in the Celtics because they know they have another game. I think it would be better if there was not another game afterwards or not. But because, I don't know, I hope to be wrong. I really hope they go in there and beat the crap out of them.
So the way you're likening this team is like a procrastinating child before an exam at college.
I really think
he needs to pass this exam to move on.
And he's failed every test up
and he's failed everything. Yeah. He's like, shit, I got one chance.
But to me, they really, this just feels so much like 2021 to me. They had the nice run the year before. It came up short. They didn't make enough changes. You know, they made a couple moves at the deadline. They didn't work out in 2021. They got swept by the Bucks. They were exhausted, you know, with the shortest offseason ever. This feels like they were expecting so many changes after coming close. None of that really happened. They told them to come back again. No one seems particularly happy to still be in the same spot with no help. Like, I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to be, you know, having the usage percentage essentially that he needs for this team to be successful at his age. And I think they're just like, what are we doing here? We were told this is going to be different. This is the same thing. It's you know, it's just a recrap of former seasons. So,
and my whole thing too, it's like to harpen back to the point that I made earlier about like complacency. And I don't like how people say, well, losing early wouldn't make like the front office is going to make changes regardless. Like, well, that's not necessarily true. We saw, like you said, Harry, after they got embarrassed after the COVID year, what did they go out and do? They shook up the roster, brought in PJ Tucker, amongst others, who was a phenomenal help. We saw when they lost in 2011 to the Mavericks and they had no perimeter defense, what did they do? They went out and got Shane Battier. Like, they went out and made appropriate moves because they noticed they weren't good enough. And now when they're still noticing now in this regime, not it's the same regime, but in this era, that they're not good enough, they're sitting on their hands. So it's like, I don't want them to get embarrassed. I don't. But I've seen history tell me that that's what it takes for this front office to make a seismic move or actually pull the trigger on something significant. I'm not saying that the Terry move wasn't significant because you had to get off of Kyle Lowry. He's going to kill you tomorrow, like Harry said. It is what it is. But you can still move the Terry contract too. So it really wasn't a bad move. I like the move. I still think they can make it work with him on the roster. But it's a serious issue with the front office being a complacency thing. And like last year, they got lulled in that false sense, like I always say, and then they make no moves. It wasn't from a lack of trying this previous offseason. I don't like the way that they tried, but it wasn't from a lack of trying. But it's just resulted in what you've seen here as a very, very stale loaf of bread.
Let me interject in something as well. To some point you made before, when people were saying that them bombing out early in the play-in playoffs doesn't guarantee the front office makes a drastic move or any move in general. And while I understand the premise behind that, I don't think that's what is being said at all. I think it's the fact that if the Heat make another deep run, which eventuates into nothing still, that there's a higher likelihood that they could rationale running it back again next year with some more minor moves. I think that's what's more concerning in the situation. Not the fact that I want us to get knocked out early, to force the hand of the front office. I don't think that does that at all. I understand. I agree with that. I don't think that puts them in a position. I feel like their pride is too battle tested and hardened to make that move. But beating Philly, beating, you know, the Knicks, beating all the teams, going to the conference finals, losing in seven against the Celtics, or even beating the Celtics and then losing in the finals again, that is a recipe for, okay, we've got something here. We just need a couple of little minor moves. And Tyler Hero does this and that. Now, we've probably already talked about it. I joined a little bit late. In the famous words of every Twitter person of all time when the playoffs are happening, legacies are on the line. And these are legacy games for Jimmy, for Bam, for Tyler. It's just the fact that it's the playoffs and every team has someone to prove. Everyone has something to prove in the finals. No matter how small you are, how lower your likelihood is, you have to prove something. Some teams are playing with house money, like the Pelicans, like the Thunder, like the Magic. No one expects the Magic to do anything. They're playing with house money. You could go and bomb out in four and people would still go, well done. Good job for making the fourth seed. That doesn't matter. But I'm talking about the Heat now, okay? there are a lot of signs pointing towards this offseason being extremely active, very drama packed, and a lot of players moving and pieces being moved around. I'm currently looking at the implosion of Golden State against Sacramento Kings, and I don't see a situation where two out of the three of those players are back on that roster next year. I'm talking about their big three.
So that's, you're saying we're going to go get Steph Curry?
I'm not saying we're going to go get Steph Curry. I'm saying Steph Curry might eventually be available. We're not going to get him.
No,
That is Stephen Curry.
Manifest. Say it. Who are we going to
manifest? We will trade Tyler Herro in a first for Steph Curry.
There it is. Clip it. Beautiful.
What's that stupid meme where the guy's like praying in his car?
Please save us, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Pat Riley, please save us. But I want this team to make a move. I feel like they're stagnant. They're not moving at the same pace. Even if Tyler comes out and has a decent series, granted we win this game and then we go on to versus the Knicks. But granted, if he goes and plays well, like very well, opinions can change. That's the way this was the business. If you are averaging 27 on 50% shooting and, you know, you get a steal and a half a game with 11 free throw attempts a game, that is the way you change, like drastically change an argument, big time. And anyone that knows me knows that I haven't been the biggest advocate of Tyler Herro. I feel like he's unpredictable, unhealthy, unreliable, every un in the entire language, and trustworthy. I just don't believe in his game enough on this team with this timeline, everything like that. So it's going to eventuate into something. This is the point I'm getting at. It's going to this offseason, no matter what happens with the postseason run, it's going to eventuate into something. And we'll have more to talk about then. Follow us on socials to keep on track there. But I'm going to preface everything and finish it off by saying, I think we win tomorrow. I think we beat them convincingly by 12 to 15 points. And even though this team has a very, very poor history of underperforming in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, against a team that plays very well in the fourth quarter, on the contrary. And it's funny, we were talking about the start of the season. I think it was the first 15 games. The Heat were the last ranking team in the fourth quarter. And in the other 70 games, or the 65 games in the season, we've done nothing to rectify that. We've done nothing to break that mold. We're still a completely shit fourth quarter team, okay?
We're the second worst as far as point differential in the whole NBA, right behind Phoenix.
We put up 18 points in the fourth quarter against the Mavericks. We put up 21 against the Hawks. We put up 37 against the Pacers, which was great, but that's an anomaly. But look, we put up 17 against the Sixers last time we versed them. So maybe I'm looking more of like blind love for my team. I still think, though, there is a very good chance that we don't blow them out, but we will do, you know, we will win by 12 to 15.
All right. I like that prediction. My prediction is as follows. It's going to be a close game, tied with about a minute left, and Kyle Lowry has the ball in his hands, and I'm going to have a heart attack. But there's a good thing that our sponsor deals with insurance, because I'm going to need some good insurance after Kyle Lowry gives me an absolute heart attack. And it's a primary sponsor of The Basement, and that's Simple Health Advisors. Insurance does not need to be complicated. Email them or give them a call today. Tell them that The Basement sent you. Give them an email at jpough@simplehealthadvisors.com. Thank you very much, James Pugh, for that beautiful sponsorship. And now, Harry, do you want to leave us with anything at all before I tell everybody to be good people? How do you think the game plays out against Philadelphia?
It's going to be ugly, and it's not going to be good for us, and we're going to be playing on Friday. So I appreciate you guys' confidence, but this build is cooked. This team is cooked, and I'm expecting a very melancholic Wednesday evening.
Hey, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. That's a good way to feel if that's how you want to feel. I think that they're going to win. George thinks they're going to win. Viewers, leave in the comments down below if you think that they're going to win. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you as always. Thank you for spending some time with some random scrubs like us. George wants to interrupt me before I tell everybody to be good people. Go ahead, George.
If the Miami Heat win the 2024 NBA championship and Tyler Herro averages over 27 points a game, I will allow people to crowdfund, and I will tattoo the entire Tyler Herro jersey on my body. from shoulders to below. I will not be paying for it, but if somehow the money makes its way to me, I will get an entire Tyler Hero jersey tattooed to my body. Book it, set it now, legally binding contract.
You set the point where it's not going to happen. So I like the way you did that.
I like the enthusiasm, but I don't think George realizes that the Nasty Man listens to these.
He does.
So you might want to.
Shit.
Yeah, he's realizing his mistake in real time. Thank you guys for listening. Take care. Be good people.
Need a stop and a rebound. Fournier for three.
Oh, my.
That was the Random Scrub Heat podcast.